songbook. It's turning our hymnals tonight to song 412, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Song 412, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Song 412, Onward, Christian Soldiers. Let's sing it out together nice and loud on the first. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army Church of God, brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we,
one in hope
and doctrine, one in charity. Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing.
Onward,
Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Great singing. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for the opportunity to be in church. I pray that you'd help us all to just sing out nice and loud and pray and praise you and from our hearts, Lord. And pray that you just bless every aspect of this service. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, for our second song, 419, Sound the Battle Cry. 419, Sound the Battle Cry. Song 419, Sound the Battle Cry. On the first.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna.
Christ is
captain of the mighty throng. Good singing this evening. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you do not have a bulletin, go and raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring you one. We have there the verse of the week for our memory Bible passage is John 1:26, and if any child under the age of 18 can quote that to a usher or myself, they will receive a candy of their choice over there. If you open up your bulletin on the left side, we have our service times, Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. Our Spanish service is every Sunday at 4:30 p.m., Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m., and of course you're here this evening for our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. This evening, unfortunately, Pastor Shelley's not feeling too good. But thankfully, we do have a man to stand in the gap, Brother Duncan Urbanek. So make sure you're paying attention to the Word of God and encouraging him tonight as he's preaching. We have our church-wide soul winning times also listed there on the left, as well as our regional soul winning times. If you have any questions about any of those times, you can get in contact with their prospective leaders. Also, once you're done with your soul winning maps, once they're filled out, or even if they're not filled out, you could always return those soul winning maps to myself. We have there on the bottom left our stats up to date. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend in Austin. Hopefully you can get those May numbers up to where they should be for this area, right? Looking forward to that. Let's make sure that we're keeping our expecting ladies in prayer. And, of course, congratulations to the Cooley family, who is a newly added lady to that list. So praise the Lord for that. We have our prayer list. The only thing that, like I said, that we have to add to that is Pastor Shelley. He's just not feeling too good, so we'll make sure to pray for him. So at this time, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer as a church family now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for this group of believers here in the Fort Worth area that love you and that want to come to church on a Wednesday night. I pray that you bless every single person here, that you bless our pastor. I pray that you would help him to get to feeling better as soon as possible, and all those that are in our church that are affected with sickness right now, I pray that you bless them and help us all just to get healthy as soon as possible. Pray for the health, as always, of the Noguera family, Lord. I pray that you bless them, as well as for Miss Lucy, for her mother's tumors in her brain. I pray that you please just perform a miracle and completely heal her, Lord. Pray also for the healing of Brother Cameron Hall in OKC for his leg, Lord. I pray that you bless him. And also for our friends abroad in Australia and in Manila, Verity Baptist Church and Pastor Sepulveda, pray that you please just help them to have a free course to preach the gospel for their churches, to have freedom there. And you'd also bless their health as well, Lord. Pray for the Goodwin family that you would just continue to comfort them and help them to heal as they're going through a difficult time, Lord. I pray that you just help them, Lord. You're the only one really that can in that tough situation. Pray also for Brother Garcia, that you'd help him just to continue recovering in the future for his foot injury. Also for Miss Restrepo, who had surgery a couple days ago. I pray that you'd help her also to fully recover, Lord. And I pray that you bless the upcoming soul winning marathon this weekend. We'd have many soul winners. We'd get there safely and see many people saved. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And that leads to our upcoming events. Like I mentioned, the Austin Soul Winning Marathon is this Saturday. I'm really looking forward to this. If you are going to this and you need the details of where and when, we just recently made a video announcing the details as far as our breakfast and lunch situation. So I know we're meeting at 9 a.m. at a Chick-fil-A. I don't remember the address off the top of my head, but if you just go to our church's YouTube channel, you'll be able to find that pretty easily. And if you need any other help, you can let me know, and I can get you that address after the service. No problem. So we're really looking forward to that. If anyone can make it, we'd love to have you. And if you're watching online and you plan on coming, please just send us an email at steadfastbaptistkjv@gmail.com so we know you're coming. And we're definitely looking forward to that. Also, a little farther off in the future, August 18th through the 20th is the Mighty Men's Retreat. And if you'd like to go to that, please sign up at the front there. I know we got more guys coming than what's on that list, so make sure you sign up if you haven't yet. Also, if you were not here on Sunday and you did not get one of these awesome church yearbooks, we've got a bunch of extra ones. Right now we're doing one per family, so if you did not get one, go ahead and raise your hand if you did not get one. Okay, someone help Ben and David. Someone pass out a couple yearbooks there, if you would, please. If I could get a man to do that, I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much. And also on the back is a place to take notes. Definitely encourage you to take notes during the preaching of the Word of God. And that is it for announcements this evening. If you'll turn in your hymnal for our third song to 411, Hold the Fort. 411, Hold the Fort. Song 411, Hold the Fort. Let's sing it out nice and loud.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph, over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus' signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Good singing.
While the offering plates go around, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we'll read the whole chapter before the sermon. Acts chapter 2, the Bible reads. You can follow along silently, starting at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man is in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the midweek service, and I just pray that you would fill Brother Dylan Oz with your spirit and enable him to thunder forth the message you've laid on his heart. Help us to pay attention to the sermon tonight and minimize distractions for us, Lord, so that we can apply the sermon tonight to our Christian lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I know I look a lot like Dylan. I've had that mix up my entire life. I say, what's your name? Duncan. They're like, oh, Dylan. No, Duncan. So if you want your child to have problems, you know, with his name his entire life, name him Duncan, because they're going to think he's Dylan. They're going to call him Dunkin' Donut. I mean, it's a great name, though. Thank you, Mom. So first, I'd just like to thank Pastor Shelley for having me preach tonight. And I just want to thank you all for being here. I appreciate you all you know, taking time out of your week to come hear the preaching of God's word. So we're here in Acts chapter number 2. The title of the sermon I have for you tonight is called Fellowship with the Brethren. Fellowship with the Brethren. Now, to catch us up to speed where we're at in the Bible here, we're in Acts chapter 2. And this is one of the most exciting times in the Bible. This is like the climax of the Bible. You think about it, we just finished the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what is that all about? The life and death of Jesus Christ, all the miracles he did, all the preaching he did, and eventually leading up to the cross where they eventually crucified Christ. But then 3 days later, God resurrected him back from the dead. And then Jesus started giving his apostles the commandment to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And now you see we're in the book of Acts where now they start doing that. Now they're starting these churches. And then after this in Acts, you have the Apostle Paul, where he's going around the entire world and spreading the gospel to every creature. And so, like I said, this is one of the most amazing times in the Bible where you see there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of zeal where everybody's finding out about Jesus Christ. Because in the Old Testament, the Gentiles, you know, the majority of the world, they knew nothing about the Bible. They had all their false gods, their false religions. But now we're into the New Testament where the main focus is unlike the Jews, where they are just focused on their own nation. Now we're in the New Testament where it's all about spreading the gospel to every single creature. And we see this is a great, exciting time. You see thousands of people we just read about where they just heard a sermon and people are just getting saved left and right. People are joining the church. They're getting baptized. So these are some great times we see in the Bible. And what I love here is at the end of Acts chapter number 2 is where we'll get started. We'll start in verse number 41. Acts 2, verse number 41. It says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So you can see right here, they start preaching the word of God. And you have thousands of people that are listening to it. And of all the people hearing, you even have 3,000 souls were added unto them. And they got baptized. Obviously, they believed and they got baptized. And that's just 3,000 that actually got saved. There's probably other thousands, whether they got saved or didn't join a church or didn't get baptized, or maybe they just heard the gospel. So you're talking about a lot of people that are hearing the word of God. And you can see that those who gladly receive the word of God, Those are the ones who got saved. They loved hearing the word of God. They accepted it. They believed the gospel. And then they joined the church and they got baptized. And so you could see whenever people started hearing about Jesus Christ, it really stirred up their zeal. Where now, like, they hear the word of God preached. Now they're joining church. They're getting baptized. They're getting plugged in. And we could see, I don't want to call it revival because, you know, it's just the beginning. They weren't necessarily dead yet. But that's kind of what it's like. It's like, man, you have thousands of people being turned to the world, turned to the Lord, and now they're about to start turning the world upside down. So we can see these are really exciting times, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. And what I want to focus in on these couple verses, if just notice the zeal that these people had. They hear the word of God, they immediately just turn their lives around and start serving the Lord immediately. And notice it says they continued steadfastly. That's a good word right there. I like that name. Steadfastly, right? The zeal that they had, those who gladly received the word of God, they had a zeal in their heart, and that drove them to serve God steadfastly, where they were steadfast. What does steadfast mean? They were unmovable. They're always abounding in the work of the Lord. These people are serious about serving God. They are steadfast in what? And the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's talking about church. They were steadfast about going to church. They took it serious. They were glad to hear the word of God. And they're like, we want more of this. We want to get closer to the Lord. We want to reach other people with the gospel. And so they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. These people were excited to go to church and learn more about the Bible. And that's the same kind of zeal that we should have. You know, hey, after we got saved, we heard the gospel, the glorious gospel, the blessed God, you know, the gospel that washed us from all of our sins. You know, the day you heard the gospel, the day you called upon the Lord and you got saved, all your sins, past, present, future, all washed away. Amen. And that salvation that God has given you freely, not of works, it's just a free gift just by you putting your faith in the Lord, would hopefully drive you to love God and serve Him. Now, obviously, that doesn't always happen. We see lots of people that get saved, and they choose to do nothing with their life. And praise God, they're still saved. They're still going to heaven, because works make no impact whether you're going to heaven or hell. I mean, obviously, hell if you're not saved, because you sin. But we could see these people, they took the work of the Lord serious, and they just started continually, they were steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. It was really important for them to get plugged into church and start learning and start growing. Now, I talked about steadfast. What does it mean to have fellowship? When I think about fellowship, I think about it means you have something in common with that other person, right? If I have fellowship with you, that means that we have things in common. That means we're pretty much friends. Why? Because we share similar beliefs. We share similar goals. We go to the same church, right? At Steadfast Baptist Church, we have a lot of good fellowship here. Why? Because we all believe the same things, for the most part. Obviously, some of you are wrong on some doctrines. But for the most part, we believe the main things. Steadfast Baptist Church, hey, we believe in the King James Bible. We believe that's the preserved word of God. At Steadfast Baptist Church, we believe that salvation is a free gift. It's just by faith. We believe in soul winning. We believe it's our job as Bible-believing Christians to go out and reach every single creature with the gospel. And that those similar beliefs that we share, that causes us to have a lot of fellowship. Yep. That's how we can even have church to begin with, because what is a church? It's a group of like-minded believers. Believers who have put their faith in Christ, they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That allows us to have fellowship. Yep. If somebody does not believe in Jesus Christ, if they're a complete atheist, guess what? I have no fellowship with them, because our beliefs are the exact opposite. I mean, the atheists, they don't even believe in God. How can we have any fellowship one with another? I mean, how is God going to have fellowship with somebody who doesn't even believe in Him? But, you know, God doesn't believe in atheists. You know, God knows. Atheists don't believe in God, but God believes in atheists. But we can see the disciples here, they continue steadfastly. Notice, in doctrine and fellowship, that's talking about church. Coming to church, hearing doctrine from the Word of God, having other Bible-believing friends, Christians that you can talk with, hang out with, you can go to church together. They were steadfast in that. And in breaking of bread, that just means they're eating together. And that's another way that you would have fellowship, is you're spending time together, right? Normally, if you're breaking bread, if you're going out to eat, it's a time where hopefully you can sit down, you can relax a little bit, you can eat some food, you can nourish yourself, you can talk with the other person and make a friend, right? You're having a conversation, you get to know them better, right? You're making friends, you're having that fellowship. And that's just a common thing, you know, everybody in this world does. But specifically when it comes to Christianity, they knew these other like-minded believers and they wanted to get to know them. They didn't just come to church. They didn't just talk with each other before and after the services. No, they're hanging out with each other. They're breaking bread together. It's like, some of y'all, you might not want to hang out with each other after the service. But, you know, these people loved each other so much that, like, hey, I'll hang out with you after the service. You know, I'll go out to eat with you. Let's become friends. Yeah. And in prayers. You know, those are some of the ways you can have fellowship with the other brethren. Obviously, going to church. It's going to be hard to have fellowship with any other like-minded Christians if you don't even have a church to go fellowship, yep, you know, with them. If you don't even have a church, I mean, that's step one of having fellowship with the brethren. You got to have a place where you can go, where you actually can make friends with somebody and get to know somebody and actually find out what their beliefs are, right? But not only that, a way they had fellowship is they're hanging out together, they're eating bread with each other, and in prayer. We see the apostles, we see the disciples, they're constantly praying with each other, but also praying for each other. Yep. And that's a good way as Christians that we can have fellowship with one another, is that we pray for one another. Yeah. We actually know what's going on in their life, and we care about them. Yep. We care that our brethren are struggling, and we take time aside out of our day where we pray to God for that person because you love them. That's an important aspect that every Christian should have when it comes to fellowship, is praying one for another. So like I said, the title of the sermon is Fellowship with the Brethren, but we can see the great example we have from the apostles, from this church, when it's just starting, everybody has this zeal, they have this excitement, where now they can start building that bond, they can start building that fellowship one another, they can go to church, they can hear good doctrine, and they can pray one for another. Look at verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, this is also amazing to me because they had such good fellowship with each other. It says that all that believed were together and they had all things common. And they even took that to a certain point where they just sold everything that they had and they just parted to every man. I mean, you could see the strong bond these people just immediately had together, where it's like they're meeting these other like-minded brethren and they just kind of work up this scheme or whatever. It's like everybody just sells everything that they have. They sell all their goods, they sell their possessions, they sell their land, they're selling their houses, and they're just giving it all to church. And then the church is just pretty much, they're redistributing that equally as everybody has need. I mean, that takes a lot of love for you to just immediately sell everything you have and just give it away, expecting nothing in return. And what's the whole point? It was to give it to those people who actually had a need, for those people who are really poor. Maybe you have a house and it was all paid for, but then you just see thousands of these Jews and Gentiles get saved. Probably not thousands of the Jews, probably the Gentiles. They're still in Jerusalem, so, I mean, everybody's traveling from the world in Acts chapter 2, so I'm sure there was a mixture, but these probably mostly Jews here, because they're all traveling from the different synagogues and everything like that. But my point was, they're all gathered together, and their love for each other just drove them to say, hey, I was bringing up the point, like, let's say you had your house all paid off, but then you have your poor brother and he doesn't even have food to eat. And you're like, you're living it up. You're living pretty good. You got land, you got a house, but you see all these people just getting saved. And now your zeal for the Lord, your love for your brethren, You're like, man, these people need some help. Maybe I could do something for them. And they all just had the same unity and fellowship where they're like, hey, how about we all just sell everything we have and we'll just give it to those who are really struggling? That's amazing right there. Yeah. I mean, that'd be really hard to just sell everything you have and give it to church. Like, all right, that would take a lot of faith in the Lord as well. If you're willing to just give all your possessions and just hope that you can survive, I'm not asking you to do that, but, you know, hey, if you want to sell some stuff. I don't believe that we should have to actually implement this same plan where I was like, all right, Steadfast, I need y'all to really dig deep tonight. Those of you who got a car, you need to give it to the Lord, all right? I'm not saying that y'all need to do that, but what I want to draw out from this, we can see their zeal for the Lord, where they love their brethren so much, they're just willing to sacrifice it all. Now, I'm not asking you to sell all your stuff, but I think an application that we could take out of that is, hey, if you do see a brethren that does have a need, that you could reach out and help them. I think about that when I'm reading parts of the Bible, like, for instance, the Old Testament, where if you had a field, you're farming grapes or whatever, wheat or whatever your harvest is, you weren't supposed to glean your entire field. You're supposed to leave a little bit for the poor. And one of the applications I take out of that when I read it is, you know, take care of all your stuff, but you know, it's nice to leave a little bit of money on the side, so when you do see somebody with the need, maybe you can help them in some way. And I think that's good. And you can see the disciples just right away. They're seeing people struggling. They're seeing their brethren who are poor, and they're just willing to help them if they ever need anything. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to every man as every man had need. So we can see the strong bond this immediately they had with each other. Why? Because they're all Christians. And that's another nice thing about coming to a church like this or any new IFB church, because we believe the same doctrines. Yeah. That's the nice part about being in the new IFB is you can walk into any new IFB. Let's say you're a Steadfast member and you've never been to any other new IFB church. You could walk in that church tomorrow and it would feel the exact same. Yep. Why? Because we all have the same fellowship. We all have the same beliefs. It's like you have that union in Christ where it's like that's your brother. It's like you're just like immediately best friends. Maybe not with everybody. But that's the way it feels when you have good fellowship with somebody, when you actually share the same beliefs, is that you can immediately make friends with that person because, like, hey, if you go to another new IFB church, you know, the pastor is preaching the word of God. You know, they probably at least have some care about the Bible. They like soul winning. So you just have immediate bond with that person, and you just love them like it's your own brother, like it's your family. Why? Because we're all one of Christ. We're all one body. And that's another nice aspect of having fellowship, is because that allows you to have a strong bond with other people. And we can also see from this chapter that they truly loved as brethren. You know, we see so many commandments in the Bible to love your brethren and to care for one another and to pray for one another. We see this in action right here. It's like this church just started. They didn't know each other very well, but because they all had that same belief in salvation, they just immediately had that strong bond because they all had the Holy Spirit. They're all part of the same church, and they're just willing to sacrifice for each other because of the love that they had. Verse number 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we can see this great zeal that these disciples had is that just daily they're continuing with one accord in the temple. I don't even know how that's possible, just like to be daily in the temple. Coming to church three times a week is pretty difficult. Imagine you coming every single day. I don't know if every single person was coming every day. Maybe you had some people coming one day and another people coming the next day. I think the apostles, for sure, they're there every day because that was their full-time job, was working for the church and ministering the word of God. So I think they're probably just preaching every day and having special services and conferences. But you can see these people, out of their love for God, they're just daily in the temple. It's like any chance they got, they went to the temple. And obviously in the temple, they were singing. They were singing praises unto God. You can see examples of the apostles where they'd go the hour of prayer, where they'd actually pray together. So I think those are some things they're doing. And obviously preaching. preaching the Word of God, and you have the people listening to the Word of God. So we can see this is a good example of what a church should look like, where you have people going to church as much as possible. They're breaking bread from house to house. The people in the church, they actually care for one another, and they're spending extra time outside of church, hanging out together, eating food together, breaking bread. And they're also happy, which is another nice point. They were happy about serving God. You know, some people, their service for God, they make it seem like it's so depressing or so difficult. I mean, serving the Lord is great. Amen. We should be happy as Christians. I mean, it's sad whenever Christians are just going through life just miserable. Yeah. It's like, you should have the joy of the Lord in your life. Right. Now, obviously, that's not going to be every day 100%. Yeah, some days are going to suck. I get it. But overall, that should be us, where we have gladness and singleness of heart. We're saved. We're going to heaven when we die. We got a family. We got a Bible. We got a church. I mean, we should be happy about serving God. Amen. And they are praising God and having favor with all the people. And then because they are doing all these things, God is just blessing that church, and he was just adding to the church daily. So you can see some of the examples we have from this good church is that they were steadfast. They really wanted to learn and to grow. They were coming to church, but the fellowship is really what united them together. And that was one of the reasons why they were growing, is because they had all these things common as far as their money, their donating and everything like that. And as far as their beliefs, having that fellowship, it allowed that church to thrive. And if we want Steadfast Baptist Church to thrive, I think that we should implement all of these things. Going to church as much as possible. Actually making friends with the people in this church. We actually know them. We actually know their name. I mean, could you say that you could look around in this room and you practically know everybody? Obviously, you might not have got a chance to talk to somebody if they're new. I mean, it's a church of 100 to 200 people, depending on who comes, and you're not going to get every opportunity to meet every single person. But, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, could you look around the people in this room? You know their name. You know their family a little bit. I mean, you've seen them before. It's a lot better when the church actually knows each other. Like I said, it's not going to be 100%. But, I mean, could you say that about you? Could you look around the people in this room where it's like, you actually know them? You know a little bit of their history? You know their salvation? You know, I mean, you've actually made a friend with that person? Or do you look around the people in this room like, man, I've never talked to like 90% of people in here. And that would show me that you have a lack in your Christian life where you don't have that fellowship with the brethren because you come to church and you don't even know anybody in here. You just come for the preaching and then you go. But that's not just what church is for preaching. It's also to have fellowship.
Yep.
It's also to sing praises with God. I mean, there's a lot of aspects with church and serving God. But we can see this is a great example in the Bible of how, you know, a church should be run, how people in the church should act. And one common denominator we can see from the disciples in Acts chapter number 2 was just the fellowship that they had one with another, the unity that they had with one another. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important to have fellowship with the brethren? Well, first of all, it's a commandment. And that alone should be enough to convince you or persuade you why you should want to have fellowship with God's people. Is because God told you to. That it's not optional. You know, we have tons of commandments where the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. How about verses that say, love the brethren, pray one for another, going to church? I mean, these things aren't optional. It's a commandment. God commands you to love your brother, whether you like him or not. So that's a pretty good reason right there. If God told you to go to church and to love the brethren, guess what? That's going to require a little bit of fellowship one with another. It's going to require some long-suffering one for another. It's going to require some care one for another. But not only is it we're commanded by God to have fellowship with the brethren, one other reason why we should have fellowship is that it helps the work of God to thrive. Because if you think about it, if we have a church and everybody believes differently on every single category, how are we ever going to get anything accomplished for God? Whether it comes in our daily life, if we have different beliefs and that causes strife between people, now people are walking in the flesh. When you're walking in the flesh, you have divisions, you have heresies. The church is just going to split left and right. If everybody in this church had their own belief, and you got this corner believes that, and this believes that, you know how long this church is going to last? Not very long. And if it does continue, it's just going to keep splitting and splitting and splitting until there's nothing left. And then the only people who do have fellowship with each other is the two people left that actually agree on something. So if you don't have fellowship with other believers in the church isn't going to run very well. It's not going to be very effective. It's not going to be efficient, especially when it comes to salvation stuff. If we have different beliefs about salvation, how are we going to accomplish anything for the Lord? What if I'm saved and then my soul winning partner, he's not even saved because he believes in a different gospel? How are we going to do anything from the work? We're going to be arguing with each other. We're not even going to be able to go out and try to preach to anybody else. So if we don't have this fellowship, the work of God will stop. The work of God will cease, and that's why it's so important for us to have fellowship with one another so the work of God can thrive. So the church is a well-oiled machine where people can come together, and we have that same unity, that bond with the Spirit, where we can come together and we can actually exhort one another, where we're glad to see each other, we can learn wisdom one for another, where we come to church and we're strengthened. And that way, when we go our separate ways and we're going out into this world, we can actually serve God effectively. But not only in our daily lives, when it comes to actually preaching the gospel, like I said, we need to have fellowship with them. You look at all these other churches, they have no unity in what they believe about salvation. And that's why 99% of those other churches aren't even saved. Because the pastor doesn't even know what he believes about salvation. He doesn't preach it to anybody in his congregation. And if you've been soul winning, you know firsthand. You go knock on people's doors and you ask them questions about salvation, they look like a deer in headlights. They're like, huh? Hey, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, nobody can know that. Do you know what you got to do to go to heaven? No, I don't know. It's like, what kind of church have you been going to? I don't even know the name. You can see the spiritual state of our nation where there's no unity in any of these churches. And the pastor isn't preaching the word of God, and it just causes all these divisions where these churches aren't doing anything. And that's mostly because they're not even saved. Yep. But that's why it's nice to come to Steadfast Baptist Church, where we can have that fellowship. Amen. We actually know what the Bible says, where we can actually preach it with boldness, and we can all be on the same page. And we can all, anybody in this room, you could pick anybody in this room and go out and preach the gospel, and you'd be right on the same page. Isn't that nice? It's really nice to have that. And that's why this is a hard church to find. And that's another reason why you should have good fellowship, why it's so important. Not only it helps the work of God to thrive, but having fellowship with the brethren, that's going to help you to thrive. Having fellowship with other believers, that's going to help propel your walk with God to make you a better and a stronger Christian. Why is it important to have fellowship with the brethren? It's going to strengthen your walk with God. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. But the reason why it's so important to have fellowship, Proverbs chapter 27, look at verse number 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's another reason why it's nice to have good, clean, Christian fellowship with the brethren. Because iron sharpens iron. Amen. You got to sharpen a sword. You're going to get some iron. Sharpen that thing. What's going to happen to that sword? It's going to get stronger. It's going to cut stronger. It's going to cut deeper. It's going to be a better sword. But if you don't have any fellowship with other believers, there's not going to be any iron sharpening you. Because, you know, if you go out into this world, they're not iron. They're not going to sharpen your blade. They're going to make you dull. They're going to make you a dead, worthless Christian. Because if you're yoked up with this world, you're not going to be serving God to the best of your ability.
Right.
You're not going to be serving God the way God wants you to. And that's why it's so important to have good Christian friends, good Christian fellowship, because that's going to improve your walk with God, where you're surrounded with other believers who believe the same as you, and they're going to strengthen you with the Word of God. Their iron is going to sharpen your iron, and you're going to walk out of here, hopefully, as a better Christian. You'll be able to endure the Christian life. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't have any good Christian friends, it's going to be hard to do anything for God. Now, obviously, God can use a single person, the Spirit of God, all things are possible. We see many prophets in the Bible, they're alone a lot of times, you know, and with God strengthening them, they were able to do it. But, you know, it's a lot harder to serve God when you're alone. And if you don't have any good fellowship, if you don't have any good friends with other believers, you're most likely going to give up and quit on God. And you're most likely going to end up with the rest of this world where you act the exact same as the world and you do nothing for God. That's why it's so important to have fellowship with the brethren, because that iron's going to sharpen you. They're going to hopefully be leading you on the path to God, where y'all are talking about the Bible. We're not talking about doing drugs and fornicating and, you know, drinking alcohol. Because that's all going to dull your blade.
Yep. Right.
But you come to church and you're around Christians and you're hearing the Word of God being preached, that's going to strengthen you.
Amen.
That iron is going to sharpen you, and you're going to become a better Christian, and you're going to be able to make it in the long haul. How many times do you go out into this world and you talk to people and they might even be saved, but they don't go to church anymore?
Right.
They don't know anything about the Bible. You know, it's probably happened. They stop going to church. They don't have a good church to go to. They're surrounded by worldly friends. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. It's like, that's how you become a dead Christian.
Yep, that's right.
That's why we need to have fellowship one with another, so we can exhort one another. Because if you have good godly friends pushing you in the right direction, they're not pushing you into fornication. They're telling you to live a clean life. And that's sharpening you. That's making you better.
Yep.
But if you don't have that, you're just going to be washed up with the world. And you're going to be one of those dead Christians that James chapter 2 is talking about. A person with faith, but they have no works. You're going to be like the salt, where Jesus said that it's better to be cast out and trodden underfoot of man. Because if the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing.
Right.
And if you're a Christian and you don't have anything leading you in the right direction, you're eventually going to become that worthless salt.
Right.
Why do you salt your food? Because it's salty, and it makes it better.
Yep.
If you have a steak and you add some salt, it makes it way better.
Amen.
And that's all you need. Bless God.
Amen.
Throw some salt on it.
Amen.
And cook it. And it's delicious.
Right.
And we're the salt of the earth. And so if we're not serving God, we're eventually going to become the salt that doesn't have any savor. There's no salt to it. And God is going to let us go off into the world, and we'll just end up destroying ourselves. And if you don't want to end up with that, you know, it's a good way to prevent that from happening. Come to church and make some good godly Christian friends.
Amen.
Right. That'll help provoke you to be in the right direction. We're surrounded by God's people rather than the people in this world.
Yep.
Bible talks about not being friends with an angry person. Why? Because you're going to become like them. You're going to be an angry person. And I guarantee you, if all you hang out around are worldly friends, you know what you're going to be like? Exactly like the world.
Right. That's right.
Nobody's going to be able to see Christ in you at all. And we're supposed to be a light to the world. And if you look just like the world, how are you going to be a light to anybody? Your candle's out. You don't even got any light to show. They don't even know you're a Christian. You're not even trying to provoke anybody else to become a Christian. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse number 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? That's a good reason why we should have fellowship with the brethren. Because two are better than one.
Amen.
I thought about this verse when I was single. So how can one be warm alone? Lord, how can one be warm alone? You know, It's a lot better to have a wife. It's a lot better to have a spouse. It's a lot better to have somebody that's your best friend. You have somebody to share this life with. You have somebody to come home to every night who cares about you, who loves you. Two is better than one.
Amen.
It's a lot better. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Now, this isn't specifically referring to marriage, but, I mean, you can make the application from Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
It's definitely not talking about marriage when it says if three. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's definitely not talking about marriage. I mean, you had a third person in your marriage. That's not going to be a strong cord. Every day, you're going to hate life. That's going to cause so much strife. But if we go outside of marriage, you know, three is better. Why? Because a threefold cord, if you have one rope and you get a knife or a sword or some scissors, it would probably be easier to cut through that rope, right? Let's say it's a thin rope. But then you take two and you tie them together and you twist them up. It's going to take a lot more work to cut through that, right? Because it's a stronger bond. It's thicker. It's harder to get through that. That's why two is better than one. And if you take three, it's even harder. You're going to really need something really sharp in order to get through that threefold cord, because it's not quickly broken. And that's why it's so important to have fellowship with other believers, because you're going to have somebody there to help you when you're down. When you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling weak, you know there's other people who actually care about you, who love you, who are willing to help you, who are there praying for you. It's a lot better to know that you have that. But if you don't have any Christian friends, if you don't have any fellowship with any of the believers, when the storms of life come your way, it's going to get a lot harder for you. And that could eventually get you to stop serving God. When the storms of life come your way, if you have nobody to help you lift you back up, it's a lot easier to just drift away. And we see a lot of people, they just completely stop serving God. So if you don't want that to be you, if you actually want to be steadfast, you need to have some good Christian friends.
Good.
You need to have that other person who's motivating you, who's encouraging you, who you're learning from, that iron that's sharpening you so you can become a better, stronger Christian, where you're getting better and better in your Christian life, and you're not just getting weaker and weaker. And the only way you're going to get better, the more you come to church, the more you hear the word of God, you have other people encouraging you, you have other people provoking you, that's going to cause you to become a better Christian.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, that's what I want.
Amen.
I'd rather become better and better than just worse and worse. I don't want my life to just completely feel like the stock market right now. I want it to get better and better. So if you want that for you, you need to have some good Christian friends. It's nice having friends to serve God with. It's nice showing up to a church with 100, 150 people, and there's people you can talk to after the service that are your same age group, that you believe the same. What if you walked in here tonight and there's like two people and Pastor Shelley and his family? That'd be a lot more discouraging, right? Especially for Pastor Shelley, because if he walked in here and there's only two people, I'm sure that'd be very discouraging for him. Now, I know he would still thunder forth the word of God and they'd rip those two faces off, but
yep.
It's a lot better to know you have a group of people backing you up who's supporting you.
Right.
It's nice to have people that you can fellowship before and after the service, or you have people you can talk to throughout the week, where you have a struggle, you have a need, and you have a friend who believes the same as you and that can help you in your time of need, because it's a lot harder to serve God alone. It would be a lot harder to drag yourself to Steadfast Baptist Church if it was in a guy's house in his living room with two other people.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot harder, right?
Yep.
But it's a lot better when you actually have a building to come to with hundreds of other people. That's a lot more encouraging to go there than some guy's house, right? But hey, if some guy's having church in his house, hey, as long as he's saved, he's preaching the word of God, the house doesn't matter. I'm just saying, with fewer people, it can be more discouraging to actually serve God. You think about soul winning. If you've ever gone soul winning by yourself, it is really hard. You knock like three doors, you're like, all right, I'm ready to go home. They don't want to hear the gospel. Woe unto you! Woe unto you, Chorazin! It's a city in the Bible. I don't know how to pronounce it. That's how I pronounce it. But it's a lot harder to go soul winning when you're alone. Even if your soul winning partner is a silent partner, it's so much better. Even if they can't preach the gospel at all, just having somebody next to you, like backing you up, it's like, all right, I'm not that crazy. This guy's with me. I know all you people in this apartment complex probably don't believe the same, but you know, me and him, we're on the same page. It's a lot better having that person you can talk with and have fellowship with, because when you're by yourself, it's really easy to give up. But when you have somebody to serve God with, it's a lot more encouraging. It's a lot more motivating than being by yourself. So like I said, it's just really easy to quit. But if somebody's with you, then you look like a little baby if you just quit after three doors. You're with your side partner, you're with your soul winning partner, and you knock three doors, you're like, yeah, they don't want to hear it, let's just go home. You're like, what are you talking about? We just drove 30 minutes to be here, we knocked three doors, we're going to knock some more. Don't quit now. Like, all right, fine. Because that other person can lift you back up, and since you know that that's what would happen, you can't just give up after three doors. You're like, all right, I know we got to go like at least an hour, okay? But it's nice having that second person there with you. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. Because
yep.
He knows it's hard to be alone.
Amen.
I'm sure it's really hard for him being on the cross alone
when
everybody forsook him.
Right.
Everyone. That's got to be hard. He knows what it's like to be alone. And so it's so much better to serve God when you have other people.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to have fellowship with the brethren. Because otherwise, you may quit. You may fail. You may give up. You may get discouraged. And you'll just live in sin. You'll go back into the world. And you'll accomplish nothing for your life. Another reason why we should have fellowship with the brethren, kind of along the same lines with iron sharpening iron, it's going to give you wisdom. If you come to church and you hear a sermon, especially if Pastor Shelley's preaching, you're going to hear a lot of scriptures. You're going to learn a lot from one of his sermons. But if you want to get more wisdom, if you actually sit around before and after the services and you're actually talking with other people who know the Bible too, especially if Pastor Shelley's in the conversation, you're going to get even more. You're going to get a second sermon after it. You're going to get even more wisdom. That's another great benefit of having godly Christian friends, is because whenever you're talking to each other, as long as you're talking about the Bible, it's going to make you wiser. There's a lot of cool things I learned about the Bible that weren't in a sermon. It was after the sermon, and then we're talking about it, and we're expounding more, and we're talking with each other about different subjects. It's nice. You get more wisdom. So it's not just the preaching. When you have fellowship with other brethren, it's going to make you wiser. It's going to make you stronger. Like I said, it's going to encourage you to keep serving God. Because if you don't have that, what's really driving you? Sermon, yes, hopefully. Hopefully that drives you to keep serving God. But like I said, hey, a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Amen.
The more you have, the better. And if you want to get more wisdom, have some good, godly Christian friends who are going to provoke you in the right direction, who are going to give you that good wisdom, going to teach you the right things so you don't end up destroying your life. So that's another good reason to have fellowship with the brethren. It'll make you smarter. It'll make you wiser. Another reason why it's good to have fellowship is it'll teach you empathy. It'll teach you love. It'll teach you compassion. Because here's the thing, and it's really only in this day and age where we can just watch the sermon at home. We have internet now. You can watch it on your phone anywhere in the world practically. This is the only day and age where we've been able to like have church at home. And if you're at home by yourself, or it's just your family and you're listening to a sermon, you know what that's never called? Church. Church is a like-minded group of believers. It's not just like you and your family.
Right.
And so, yes, if you're at home and you can't make it to church, you're sick, and you can watch it online, great. But you know what you're missing out on? Fellowship.
Yep.
God didn't ordain it for us to just sit on our couches at home by ourselves just to listen to preaching,
right,
eating Cheetos. Even though that's fun and it's great. That's not all church is about. Church is also about having fellowship. And because here's the thing. If you're just at home, you learn a lot of wisdom. You might hear a sermon, hey, you need to love the brethren. You need to pray for one another. And you're like, who? Because you're at home. You might be at home hearing these sermons, but then you have nothing to apply them to. Because you're not around anybody else. You don't have other brethren to fellowship with. How are you going to learn how to love the brethren if you have no brethren to love? If you have no Christian friends? That's a great aspect of actually coming to church where you're physically here with other people. We can see them in the face and you can talk with them. And you can know their story. You can know their background. You can know where they grew up. You can know how they got saved. You know their family. You know their wife. You know their kids. You know that they're struggling. Maybe they have this sickness. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they went through some horrible tragedy. And you know that about them. And since you're in church, you know that person. You know what that teaches you? It teaches you empathy.
Yep.
It teaches you compassion. Where you actually love the brethren, where you see them actually struggling, and you feel for them. You care for them. But if you're just at home, how are you going to have that? You don't even have anybody to have compassion towards because you're just by yourself. But if you actually come to a church and you learn and you grow with other people, that's going to cause you to actually learn how to love the brethren. And that's why it's so important to actually physically come to church, because that gives you fellowship with the brethren. Where now you can learn how to actually love a Christian, how to love for a brother or sister in Christ. And you're not going to learn that at home. You're not going to be able to apply that sermon literally if you're just at home by yourself. So like I said, having fellowship with the brethren, it teaches you Christian values that you might not get on your own. You might not get out in the world. You might not get to actually apply it. But when you actually come to church and you know the people and you love them and you care for them, that teaches you how to serve God better. And if you're just sitting at home every service, you're not going to learn these things. You're not going to be actually apply the word of God. You're going to be like a hearer of the word and not a doer. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. I don't know where you are now. Proverbs chapter number 18. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." Like I said, having fellowship with the brethren is a commandment. We're supposed to comfort ourselves together. We're supposed to edify one another. We're supposed to teach each other, build each other up. That's part of a commandment. And what I notice is when I see people, maybe they even come to church, but they don't actually get to know each other or fellowship with anybody, you know what I notice is that they're gone pretty quick. Why? Because they didn't have much unity with other people. Yeah, we share the same beliefs, but you didn't really make any good friends. You never really actually developed a strong bond with somebody, and it causes you to really give up really easy, and it causes you to get out of church really quickly. And what I've noticed, when people don't make friends with other people in church, they don't last very long. They come for a few months, and then you never see them again.
Yep.
And it's sad. Because I would hope everybody in this room would have the attitude where we want more people to come to church.
Right.
Yeah. We want to learn. We want to grow and become better and stronger. We want to be able to reach more people, especially out with the gospel. It's nicer when you have more people joining the church, and it's exciting. Isn't it nice when you see visitors and people are coming, people are getting saved, people are getting baptized? It really stirs up the zeal in church. And so, but when you decide to not have any fellowship with the brethren, it's going to cause you to not have any strong bond with anybody, and you're going to be gone soon. And that's what I notice about, you know, whether it comes with fellowship with the brethren or whether it comes to soul winning. I notice if people don't go soul winning, they don't last in church very long. Why? Because they're not a perfect Christian, perfect as in complete. There's a huge aspect of their Christian life that's missing out, and they don't even go soul winning. But also one great aspect of soul winning is that now if you go soul winning and you have a partner that you're out soul winning with, now you're a fellow soldier in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what that creates? A really strong bond.
Yep.
Really, right. It creates a lot of, it's a bonding experience, right?
Right.
If you go out soul winning with somebody, and it causes you to love that person deeper, because like, now that's my fellow soldier.
Right.
We go to battle together.
Amen.
I would die for this person. I care about this person. We're doing the work of the Lord together.
Amen.
Amen. This is a very important job, and it causes you to develop a stronger relationship with that person. It causes you to love the brethren more, because that's my soldier. You have soldiers out in this world, they'll die for each other.
Yep.
They'll go out to battle one for another. And they love each other deeply. Why? Because they went through those hard battles together,
right,
where they almost got their head blown off. They went through that trial, that tribulation. That made them a strong, that gave them a stronger bond. And that's practically why, like, every military person, they have that fellowship, right? It's like they see somebody else in the military, like, Semper Fi. Yeah. God bless you. I see that hand. Why? Because they went through that tribulation together, and that built a strong bond for them. So it's the same as a Christian. You go out soul winning with somebody, you develop a strong bond with that person. Why? Because now that's your fellow soldier. Y'all been in the battle together. Y'all been in the trenches together. Y'all seen some things. You seen some stuff. You've been to the door. You've been to those crazy doors. You have those exciting testimonies to share and talk about. The apartment manager,
you know,
chasing you out of the office, and people yelling at you. And you got all those cool stories, right? And that causes a strong bond between you and somebody else. So you got those crazy stories, right? But then you also got the really cool stories, right? Where you were able to get that old lady saved. That 80-year-old woman, grandma, you were able to preach her the gospel and she got saved. Are you able to preach the gospel to this 10-year-old kid? And he called upon the name of the Lord and he got saved. And you have not only these other crazy experiences, but you also have these really good emotional experiences. It's like, man, we did something good. We did something good for the Lord. And that causes you to have a strong with other people in church. And like I said, that all drives you to keep serving God because you have that fellowship. You have that unity. Like I said, if you don't have that, it's going to be really easy to quit and give up. And you're not going to be steadfast. So, how do we implement fellowship? The last part, we'll get into some applications. I'm trying to persuade you that you should want to have Christian fellowship this whole time, right? To stir up your desire, we actually want to make good Christian friends. We actually want to know the people in here. But how do you actually apply that? What do I do? Also, what I wanted to quickly mention is that there's good types of, I guess I kind of mentioned it earlier. There's good fellowship and there's bad fellowship. The bad fellowship, I'm referring to the fellowship with this world, right? You can have fellowship in the good or bad category, but if you have it in the wrong one, it's going to cause you to stumble in your service for God. If you have fellowship with the world, if you're yoked up with this world, you're going to be just like them. If all your friends just want to watch football on Sunday, you know what you're going to end up doing? Skipping church and watching football on Sunday. Probably drinking beer, because I don't think you can watch football and not drink beer, apparently. I don't think they can watch any sport and not drink beer, because, you know, it's that miserable just to sit and watch sports, I guess. I've always hated watching sports. I enjoy playing sports, but it's like watching them. It's like NASCAR. Sorry if you like NASCAR, but it's like, they're going in a circle. Who cares? It's like, like I said, playing sports is fun. If I'm driving that NASCAR, that'd probably be pretty fun. But, like, watching it, I never got that. But like I said, who you yoke yourself up with, that'll define who you are as a person. And so you don't want to have fellowship with the world. You want to have good fellowship with the brethren. So how do we implement this good fellowship? Number one, it's really simple. Come to church. You made it tonight? Yeah. I'd like to see you next time. Next Sunday, next Wednesday. Keep that up. Don't forget why you come to church. Not only are the love of Christ, you know, he saved us, so I mean, it's the least we could do to go to church. He did pay for all your sins.
Good.
The least we could do is serve him. So, I mean, that's a pretty good reason. But how do we actually implement fellowship is we go to church. I mean, it's not rocket science. Somebody who doesn't go to any church and they have no Christian friends, you know what they don't have? Christian fellowship. Or it's the wrong kind of Christian fellowship because it's all their Christian friends at work. And they might as well be, you know, in the worldly crowd. And so obviously, if we were to implement that, we need to come to church. And online is not a substitute for church. You actually have to come physically. I know it's hard. You got to drive. You got to shower. I hope you shower. You got to put on some clothes. I mean, it's not that hard, but I mean, it does require some sacrifice, right? But you know, serving God is going to take some sacrifice. And these are some sacrifices we need to make if we're actually going to serve God. Number one, just start going to church. And I guarantee you, if you come to a church like this, even if you just come once a week, you're going to start to see a huge growth in your Christian life. So you're just going to be surrounded by people who actually love the Lord. And who knows, you start coming once a week, that might stir you up. Now you're coming twice. Now you're coming three times a week. Now you're coming every day. Pastor Shelley's like, get out of my house. We're not in church right now. There's no temple. But I hope you'd have that attitude where it's like, hey, if the temple was open daily, maybe I'd try to come. Daily, it sounds like a lot. I'm glad it's three times a week. If it was every day, that'd be difficult. Conferences are fun. It's like every day, it's like a whole week. They're super fun. At the end of it, you're like, I'm tired. So, but it's really easy. Come to church. Not only come to church, if you want to implement having fellowship with the brethren, don't just come to church. Come to church a little bit early. I'm not saying you got to come to church an hour early. Especially on Wednesdays, you're coming off work, traffic. I get it. I don't expect people to come to church an hour early every service, every single time. But could you show up 5 minutes before the service and actually like meet somebody else? Does that require a whole lot? No. So if you want to have fellowship with the brethren, hey, come a little bit early. Actually meet other people. Learn the other people's names. And don't just come 5 minutes early. How about you stay 5 minutes after the service too? It saddens me whenever I see people, especially if it's like a new visitor or a new family, they just start coming to church, and it's like immediately after the service, gone. And it's like, hey, what's your name? It's like, I know that kind of person, they're not going to last here long because they didn't meet anybody. They didn't talk with anybody. And don't let that be you. I'm talking like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm not saying, hey, you need to stay here an hour, okay? And hey, if you want to stay here an hour and fellowship with other believers, great. But whenever you just come right when the service starts or right when it's, you know, after it's starting, it's like you wait in the car so it's a start, that way you don't have to talk to anybody. Or you just immediately leave right after the service, you're not going to last here very long. You're not going to last in any church very long, and you're probably not going to have any close friends in your life because that's probably just who you are as a person. You never really develop any kind of friendships with other people because you just, when it comes to church, you just come hear the word of God and you go home. But I know your walk with God is going to be strengthened if you actually have fellowship with the people in this room, you actually learn about each other, and you edify one another. So like I said, I'm not asking you to stay an hour, but could you show up a little bit early, like 5 minutes? Because if you just show up at service and you leave right after, you don't really get the opportunity to meet anybody. Now, obviously, tonight's Wednesday night. It's a late night. People got to go home. Some of you got to drive an hour. Some people got to drive an hour and a half. I don't expect you to stay here an hour, even if you can't say stay 5 minutes, you know. I understand. It's Wednesday night. You got a long drive. If you got to go right after the service, I understand. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the people who don't have any fellowship at all, where it's like they're not making any effort to make any friends at church. They just come and go. They don't talk to anybody. So look, I understand. I'm not preaching to the choir here when it comes to that. I'm not asking you to stay 30 minutes tonight. But if you're the kind of person where you don't know anybody in church, then you're missing out on a huge part of your Christian life where you're not having great fellowship with the brethren. What's another way you can have fellowship with the brethren? Go up and talk to that person. It's really simple, right? Go to church, come a little bit early, stay a little bit after, and talk with other people. It's not crazy, right? Maybe hard to do. Yeah, it is hard to do sometimes. It's hard to make friends. It's hard to go talk to somebody and get out of your comfort zone and go learn about them and ask their name. It's much easier just to leave. But you know, if you don't have fellowship with the brethren, if you say, I don't really have any Christian friends, well, stop waiting for people to talk to you. Why don't you go up to somebody else and approach them? Yeah. Why don't you be the one to initiate that and you go talk to them? And especially in a church like this, you're just going to have like immediate friend because we all believe the same. So it's kind of nice. You just go up and talk with them, and now You know their name. You know a little bit about them, and now you have a new friend. It's not hard in a church like this. I'm glad we do fellowship the way we do a church like this. It's not like in the beginning of the service, you got to like stand up and pretend like you care about other people. It's so awkward when you go to other Baptist churches. I don't know if non-Baptists do it, but a couple of Baptist ones I've been to, it's like, all right, now everybody stand up and pretend like you care about others. Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? It's like, that's not real fellowship. That's so weird to me. And it's forced. It's like, I don't want to be forced to shake your hand. Just let it happen organically, right? If I want to approach you, okay, give me the choice at least. I find that weird. So, go to church, show up a few minutes early, and go up and talk to people. Proverbs 18, verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You just got to reach out to people and be nice to them. And then you'll start having friends. It's not that difficult. And the cool part about that last verse, the last part of that verse, it says, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You might have a physical, like it's your blood relative, like it's your brother. But you could have a friend that's actually closer than your literal brother. Unfortunately, my brother's here. He's both. Just kidding. But it's nice that you can actually have somebody. Maybe you don't even have any siblings. You don't even have a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe all your brethren are not even saved. But you know, you can have friends at church. They stick closer than a brother. That's a brother in Christ. You have a much stronger bond. There's a bond stronger than blood, spirit, the spirit of God. We're all one in Christ. And that creates a strong bond between each other because we are saved. So go up and talk to people. Listen to their stories. Listen to their problems. Especially when it comes to visitors. You know, we should make visitors feel very welcome at this church. We're excited that they're here. We try to strike up a conversation with them, especially to get them saved. I mean, if you see a visitor, try and get them saved. You don't got to be all weird about it, but just strike up a conversation with them. Maybe you could try to get them saved, but make them feel welcome. Smile at them, you know, greet them. It's not like, a reprobate was going on here. I don't know about that guy. Be nice to them. Reach out to them. Be a friend. And maybe they'll come back because of your hospitality. Like, man, Pastor Shelley ripped my face off, but you know, that one guy was nice to me, so I guess I'll come back. You can make a huge impact on visitors by just reaching out to them and being friendly to them. And lastly, how to implement Christian fellowship is pray for each other. Kind of talked about it earlier, but that's a good way to develop a strong bond between a brother or sister in Christ where you're praying for them. Where you're setting time aside out of your day to just ask the Lord on their behalf, like, hey, would you heal my friend? Would you heal my brother? He's struggling with this. And because you're thinking about them and praying for them, that causes you to love that person more. So that's another way you can, you know, build your fellowship with the brethren as you're praying for each other. I'll read you a couple verses, then we'll go home, all right? Acts 20, you don't got to turn to these. I'll just read them quickly. Acts 20, 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. He shed his blood. He went through the worst suffering you could ever imagine. He even went to hell. Why? So he could purchase you. And we all have brethren here, and we're supposed to love each other as brethren, and that's why we have church. Jesus Christ gave his blood for this church. And we're commanded to have fellowship with one another and to love each other. It also says in 1 John 4, verse number 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's saying if you have a spiritual brother in your face and you can't love him, you can see him. You can talk with him. You can get to know him. You know he's your brother. But you hate him. You hate your brother. You despise him. If you can actually see that person and you hate him, How can you love God and you haven't even seen God? That's what it's saying. It's saying if you can't love your brother whom you have seen, how are you going to love God whom you have seen? One of the ways that we love God is that we have love one for another. So if you say, I really love God, I love Jesus Christ, I want to serve him, he's done so much for me, then show that in your life. We actually care about other brethren in Christ, where you actually love them and you're getting to know them and you're helping them and you're encouraging them. Because if you're not loving your brethren, how can you really say that you do love God? So let's all remember that as we go our separate ways and as we keep trying to serve God, is that we're here to provoke one another, we're here to love each other, and having fellowship with the brethren is going to make us stronger Christians. I'll leave you with this last verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. With that, let's close it in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have this church to go to. Thank you for the fellowship that we have, where you have people that believe the same. We have the same Spirit of God. We have the same goals. We have the same desires. And I just pray you bless the fellowship with this church, where we just have a deeper appreciation and care one for another. You'd help this church to be strong, that we could thrive, so we could keep serving you effectively and efficiently, and that we could reach this world the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
All right, at this time, everyone go ahead and greet your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. I definitely second that. I think we'd be a little more careful who we sit next to if that was the policy, right? I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to 441. Great is thy faithfulness. 441. Great is thy faithfulness. Song 441. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Morning by morning. provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.